Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. June 10, 2019. My thoughts on Twitter, June 10, 2019. The Torah is found in those who are ready to annul themselves in it. Men's only quality is egoism. And the aspiration to change it from the desire for myself to the desire for the Creator is possible only by the light of Torah, rather than by one's own forces. Since the goal of creation is to go from breakage to unity, the main problem of correction lies in attaining love for the neighbor, when the broken parts of the common desire of Adam unite together in mutual guarantee, in complete correspondence, as one whole. Since the goal of creation is creation's full equivalence to the Creator, it is achieved by breakage and unification of the single desire. The breakage happens at the root of the act of creation, and unification of the broken desires occurs through our efforts. The right connection of the broken desires is called mutual guarantee. Rabash. Three aspects of Torah. There are three stages of Torah. 1. Toshia. It weakens a person's forces. 2. Torah, a spice. 3. The light of Torah. Stages 1 and 2 are preparation for receiving Torah. Stage 3 is the essence of Torah, to fulfill the creatures with awareness. Michael Leitman and Matt Beat talk about anti-Semitism. Weaving a blanket of love. It is said that man's work is to raise the Shehinah from the dust, to restore the common soul of Adam HaRishon, and to rebuild the fallen tent of King David. It is about restoring the connection between us, becoming as one man with one heart, as it was before Adam's sin, before the shattering. And although egoism prevents us from doing this, we do not destroy it, but we rise above it and build the connection between us. This is called weaving a blanket of love, which should cover all creatures as one body. Thus, we reach the end of correction, returning to the one soul in which one light is clothed, the Creator, enjoying the creations He created. The Creator intentionally created the evil inclination so that we could overcome it and turn it to good. He purposely puts obstacles to our unification, and we have to look for a way to change them for the good. You should not berate your egoism, because it is an angel, the power of the Creator, sent to us as a hindrance. The Creator seems to set a barrier in front of me that needs to be jumped over. This barrier is quite low, almost on the ground, but an impenetrable wall stands behind it. It is the same with the evil inclination. We do not need to destroy it but to rise above it. I cannot rise above it. Only if the Creator removes the wall, or rather, if He moves away, then to this extent I will be able to rise above my egoism. It turns out that progress in spirituality depends on a person's connection with the Creator. The evil inclination is help against me that helps in this. Therefore, we need to treat egoism with understanding and respect and realize that this barrier is help against us. Our evil inclination depicts this whole world for us. We see ourselves, people, inanimate nature, plants, and animals. This whole egoistic world was created in order to rise above it and merge with the Creator. We understand our evil inclination so much that we begin to love it. After all, both forces, the good and the evil, act to help us. Otherwise, it turns out that I tried to hide from my egoism as an enemy, but I am also not capable of loving my neighbor. That is, either way, I am not successful and I don't understand what to do with this life. But it has to lead me to the absolute good, when even darkness will shine as the light and the angel of death will turn into a holy angel. Therefore, weaving a blanket of love, you should treat all negative incidents as being sent by the upper force. The Creator purposely created the evil inclination, and therefore, there is no evil in the world. Everything is intended to direct us toward the upper force and eternal life. If we attribute all these forces to the same source, then we weave the right basis for the blanket of love that will cover us. In essence, the Creator is revealed this way, Between the good and evil forces we reveal the thought of creation and the attitude of the Creator toward us. From the first part of the Daily Kabbalah lesson, the 21st of May 2019, Weaving a Blanket of Love, Preparation for the Convention in North America Convention 2019. Connection with the Creator is the basis of ancient languages. Question: Is the Hebrew language a kind of middle line between letters and hieroglyphs? Answer: I did not study the spiritual origin of hieroglyphs. I can only say one thing: the basis of all ancient languages is the connection of the person with the Creator. Although Hebrew conveys the most complete connection, and therefore the Torah and all other spiritual sources are given on it, we cannot say that through Chinese, Indian, Ethiopian, Egyptian characters, etc., there is no connection of the person with the Creator. In any case, there is a connection because before any human began to feel how to express his opinion, his feeling, he received this knowledge from the Creator. It did not arise out of nowhere just like that. In this sense, all languages have spiritual roots, only they have all deteriorated or disappeared. Hebrew is the only language that has remained the same, and therefore the Torah and all other books are given in Hebrew, of which all of humanity has gradually realized its spiritual sources. We simply do not know the roots, we do not know the correct connection with the Creator in any ancient language. But it undoubtedly exists, otherwise nothing could have happened. In addition, scientists have intervened on the basis of their conclusions, dissertations, etc., and started to break them according to their understanding. From that, of course, nothing from the original sources of all languages remains. From the Kabbalah lesson in Russian, January 6, 2019. New Life number 1110. The Development of Judaism, Egypt and the Wilderness, Part 1.
Hello and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzan Mazoz. Hello. And today we'd like to talk to Dr. Lightman about the evolvement of Judaism throughout history. If we look at Judaism, it went through many different periods, and we'd like to focus on some of them in order to understand some of its ideas on our way to a better life. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, the development of Judaism is a very interesting topic. You can look at it from different angles and see how it changed. Maybe even its essence changed or was lost somewhere along the way, so much so that we don't even remember what it is. And when we look at the evolvement of Judaism, historians divide it into several periods. I'll point them out so that we'll understand what are we going to focus on today. The first period is the time of the Bible, the time of Abraham, our patriarch, and the fathers. The second stop, the people of Israel, when they get the Torah. They receive the Torah during the state of Mount Sinai. That's the second period. Afterwards, there is the period where the people of Israel enter the land of Israel and settle down there. There they start the work and the temple, the sacrifices and everything. After that comes the destruction of the temple and going into exile. And later there's already the next stage after the 2,000 years of exile where the people of Israel come back to their land, to the land of Israel. So today we'd like to focus on better understanding Judaism, understanding what is it going through in its development in that period where the people of Israel are going through the desert for 40 years. Before that, they got the Torah during the state of Mount Sinai. Moses, who led them up until then on the verge of entering the land of Israel, he passes away, and the people go in with Joshua. The people back then are already divided into tribes, and in the first stage, they enter the land of Israel as tribes. They conquer from the people that lived there originally the land. They divide it between the tribes, and every tribe gets their piece of land. And right now the question is, when we look at the people of Israel, since they were established and founded in the times of Abraham, this people was founded on a certain ideology. And it's an ideological nation, actually. And they're roaming the land. They don't have a place where they settle down, where they start building something. And it happens for the very first time when they come to the land of Canaan, the land of Israel. They settle down for the very first time. Suddenly, there's a connection between the ideology and some geographical place, a piece of land. And there, the people of Israel start getting a certain political structure, certain hierarchy, and so on. So what's special about this period in Judaism where the people of Israel settle down for the very first time? How does it serve the evolvement of Judaism? I don't think that it serves it for the better. Because a people that was all the time in their process in the desert, their inner desert and the external desert, they were nonetheless in need of protecting themselves, fighting the different problems that came up. They had different systems of management inside the nation against external enemies, internal enemies, of how to strengthen and unite the nation. And the nation had to constantly be concerned with what they have. And especially the nation had to be concerned with having man or manna. For 40 years, they needed to collect the man, both corporeally and also spiritually, and to eat it. What is the inner meaning of the man? The inner meaning is that all of us understand that only through our connection can we raise our deficiency for connection, for greater and further connection, to raise this deficiency upwards to the upper source, to the unique force that exists in nature, that all of nature is one united force. You can call it God or Adni, doesn't matter how you call it, but it's one force, none else besides Him. Hear, O Israel, the Creator is your God, the Creator is one, meaning the one positive force of connection and love. And towards this force, we have to aspire to receive all of our examples from Him, to raise all of our deficiencies that we want to receive bestowal from this force, and to continue this way. And so the appeal to the force of connection, unity, and love, for it to connect us, unite us, and to allow us to be as one man and one heart all the time, that from day to day we're evolving and developing more and more in terms of our ego, that develops us in the opposite direction of connection. So each and every moment we have to raise a deficiency for greater connection, according to whatever is revealed between us, the different changes, the distance, separation, problems. And therefore, we're constantly concerned with how to raise the man, the deficiency, to scrutinize it, to find what between us still needs correction in order for us to be as one man and one heart, where all of Israel are friends. And as it says, in love another as thyself, so that we'll be able to connect between us more and more upon the growing problems, so that we will start feeling the upper force connecting us. That's connecting us, not just some force, but that it becomes ever more scrutinized, ever clearer, ever more felt. A positive force, the force of connection. And this force of connection, it's not that, God forbid, it has to appear in some figure, character, image, but by feeling that there's this special force in nature that connects us, that envelops us, that we feel that between us and that force there's something special. And it's not on the bodily, corporeal level in terms of food, sex, family, money, honor, knowledge, and these desires. No, but it's in spiritual bestowal, meaning above all the differences and all the corporeal discernments. Corporeal discernments and differences. And this is what we acquire throughout the 40 years in the desert. After we have acquired this force that we truly want to be together, then our ego begins to rise even more. And what's interesting here is that we have acquired the force of bestowal, but now we have to start working with our force of reception, with our ego, to turn the ego, our ego, for it to also be in order to bestow, meaning it's not enough that we have acquired the force of good, the force of bina, the force of faith, emunah in Hebrew, from Moses, which is called in Hebrew Re'aya Me'emana, a trustworthy shepherd, meaning the teacher of faith. But now, with the force of bestowal, with the force of faith, we have to work on our ego that we have acquired in Egypt. We took from Egypt all of those vessels from Egypt. So now we have to awaken those vessels from Egypt and start correcting them by the force that we have acquired from Moses, the force of Binah. So the force of Malchut is Pharaoh, the force of Moses is Binah, and we're starting to correct the force of Pharaoh by the force of Moses. And that's called work, the work that we're doing in Israel, that we are the egoistic desire, that in general is called Pharaoh. We have to correct him, not him in and of himself, because he remains in his desire, but only his ego that entirely claims that everything belongs to me, which is in order to receive. We need to invert it to in order to bestow, to the benefit of the general force of love, bestow, connection, unity, which is called the collective nature, or God, the creator, the degree of Elohim, the creator. And this is called the work that's done in the land of Israel on the egoistic desire that we gradually direct it at the creator to be Yashar Kel, a different pronunciation of Israel, meaning to be aimed straight at the creator, at the upper force. And this is the work that's done in Israel, meaning it's not about geography or history or all of these things, but it's talking about a process that this nation, that this group actually, it's not a nation, it's a group that Abraham gathered in Babylon, that he called out to them, whoever wants to reach the Creator, come to me. And they came to him, and he began this process, and later there was Isaac and Jacob and Moses, Aaron, Joseph, David, and so on and so forth. And to this day, we're advancing in the same way, and we're talking about those that didn't abandon this method, that love covers for all crimes all the time, and onto connection and up to the point of love. We're in love, all of us come together, those that do come together, and we unite with the upper force, which is the force of love and bestow, which is the creator that's attained specifically in our connection. This is the entire foundation of Judaism. All the rest of the things that are related to the mitzvot that were being taught by people in synagogues and yeshivas and the koilelim and so on, these are mitzvot that are as a copy of the spiritual actions, that in our desire we have 613, or more precisely 620, but let's say 613 desires. And we have to invert each and every desire from the intention of in order to receive to the intention of in order to bestow, to the environment and through it to the Creator. And therefore, this is what we're engaged in. Opposite that, we also have incorporeality, also different corporeal actions that you do with your hands, with your mouth, and so on. So, we need to observe them too. Whoever observes, he does. Whoever doesn't, doesn't. But everyone has to observe them internally, emotionally, in our inner correction, because the main thing is the correction of the desire, the correction of the heart, and it says about it in many sources. That's actually it. Now, regarding the work in the desert before entering the land of Israel, its work in raising man, as it says, the Torah was given only to those that eat man. What does it mean? That we collect all of our deficiencies and we raise them to be corrected. We ask for their correction. What kind of deficiencies are these? Only regarding to connection, nothing else. Because we came from the sharing of the one vessel, the one kli in Hebrew called Adam Rishon, the one soul. This vessel divided into many pieces due to an inner explosion, and since then all of these parts are in opposition to one another, and we need to, despite the ego that exists between them that separates us, we have to bring them back together. And then the intensity of that vessel, compared with Adam HaRishon, will be 600 times greater than it initially was. That in that we feel the Creator, attain the Creator, increase ourselves, elevate ourselves from the degree of this corporeal, animate world to the degree of the spiritual, eternal, whole and perfect world. Okay, when we asked you at the beginning of our discussion what changed about the people of Israel since they went into the land of Israel, conquered it, and settled down in it, you began your explanation from the previous period of the desert. Why? In order to explain to me what changes in this nation after they entered the land of Israel, you're taking me to the previous period of the 40 years in the desert, just so I get the approach to explain what do we base ourselves on. After we correct the measure of faith, of bestowal, that this is what we have acquired during the 40 years in the desert, we raise the Malchut to the degree of Binah. Just to understand this idea, to understand what happens after we enter the land of Israel, we have to understand what happened before that. Yes, so let's first understand what happened before that, and then we'll talk about what happened later. If I understand correctly, you said that in the 40 years in the desert, there is a group of people that actually the inner process that they're going through, you established your explanation on a concept called man or manna. We know that during their 40 years in the desert, they ate man that came from the heaven. And in the beginning of your explanation, you said that there's both something corporeal and also something spiritual in the man. So the corporeal part, it's probably what we know from the scriptures, that it's the food that came down from heaven. But there's also something more internal, spiritual, that this is what I'm trying to understand. What is this man, the spiritual man? The spiritual man is that I raise my requests for the correction of my ego towards the Creator, towards the upper force, and in return, I receive from him forces that correct my will to receive, that help me rise above my will to receive further and further upwards. Where? Upwards meaning not to be influenced by my ego. So this is what you mean by an inner spiritual process? Yeah. So man, besides being nourished by food that has to sustain his body, there is a more inner nourishment where he asks and also receives forces throughout the 40 years in the desert to rise exactly above what? His ego, our original nature. How do you define ego? The will to receive for oneself, to constantly care for oneself, fulfill oneself at the expense of others, not at the expense of others, doesn't matter. The main thing is that I'll feel good. I think only about myself. I'm as if withdrawn only unto myself. And this is our nature. It's not good or bad, but that's nature. This is how nature created us. Yes. Okay, now man wants to rise from this place to what? He wants to ascend to the opposite quality, where he doesn't care for himself, but where he cares for others. Why? Why? This is a question. It could be because he feels that the work of constantly caring for himself doesn't bring him to anything, but he lives a very short, introverted life, and eventually he doesn't enjoy it, but he's constantly in this very limited, restricted, very inner kind of concerns that are useless. He doesn't feel that he's realizing life, that he's using it. And then he starts asking, what's the meaning of life? What is the meaning of life supposed to be? Still, I was given certain desires, a certain feeling of wanting to know what's worthwhile living for. This inner scrutiny, this inner recognition, is this what the people of Israel acquired during the 40 years in the desert? Yes. What's dry there exactly? The desert symbolizes dryness. Yeah, that my life's dry, and I have to wetten it with water, with the force of bestowal. I have to know why, what for, what is all of this meant for. We see that nothing in nature is created just so, and only myself, the crown of creation, was created without a purpose. And from this understanding, a person asks to ascend. When he gets the force to ascend, he ascends to what? He ascends in his attainment. The attainment of what? He attains that there is an upper force. He attains that the upper force has a program and a plan, a goal of how to bring man to the best possible eternal, whole, and complete state. It's so great in what? In that it elevates a person above his ego, where a person is no longer introverted inside himself, but he also opens himself up like a flower, and he looks from the end of the world to its end and sees everything, because he comes out of his restricted framework, and he doesn't want to care for himself, but in his concern for others, he's integrated with all of reality, he integrates with it. This means love another as thyself, that then all of reality is within my sensations, in my attainment, and then I see from the end of the world to its end, I see all of reality, the way it's all interconnected, like one big flower. And I'm present and I attain all of the laws and sensations and everything that's happening. And sure, I rise above time, space, motion. I'm simply in eternity. This transcension, this is the inner state that this group of people called Israel experienced during the 40 years in the desert? Yes. Or do they experience it only when they enter the land of Israel? No. The transcension above the will to receive being the ego, yes, is the entrance into the land of Israel, where we don't yet work with our ego, but we already transcend above it and acquire the degree of bestowal of Bina. Just a second. The process that you described, where the flower opens up and a person attains everything by developing care for others instead of for himself, being the essence of love and others thyself. Now you just gave me the complete process of development? No, half of it. Okay, this half is already attained in the 40 years in the desert? Yes, and only. Okay, and this is the inner man, meaning besides receiving the food that they need in order to survive, in terms of the human spirit, they ask and receive the forces to carry out the process of their inner development. Yes. Okay, And this is something that they get during this period of 40 years in the desert. Probably there are different processes there, but we won't go into this resolution. I get the big picture. Now, the next stage is they enter the land of Israel. The first time where this group of, let's call them wanderers, so to speak, they have now a place of their own. They have 12 tribes, each with their piece of land. And what essentially changes in the process? Previously, they didn't have a land of their own. Now they do. What changes about them essentially? Before that, we have to once again turn to the period that was before the desert. Okay, before the desert. Before the desert, there was Egypt. Yeah, but the Torah. No. Egypt. Okay, they were slaves in Egypt. What is the matter of being slaves in Egypt? It's that we have discovered our egoistic desire in a way that it controls us directly and absolutely. And we rose above it. We made a restriction over it. We no longer use this desire, and we elevate ourselves to the degree of bina, the degree of bestowal. We've acquired the degree of bestowal. What is bestowal? That you bestow good onto each other. Ah, okay. To treat each other favorably. Now, when we've acquired this degree of the so-called bina, it's the Bina, the desert. Then we enter a period called the Land of Israel. What is the Land of Israel? That period of Egypt, with the egoistic will to receive, now we're starting to correct it. Meaning we have the period of Egypt, where our egoistic will to receive was revealed. Afterwards, during the 40 years in the desert, we have acquired the desire to bestow, to give, to love, but we've only acquired the desire, not its realization. Now we take Egypt and we start correcting it in order to bestow. We start to do what? To correct it in order to bestow. Meaning what? That those egoistic desires that existed back there in Egypt called Pharaoh, the Egyptians, and so on, we now invert or turn these desires into in order to bestow. We were in strife between us and so on, suppose. Afterwards, we've acquired a good attitude towards each other, and now we're implementing this good attitude upon those desires that we have revealed in Egypt, that we've developed in Egypt. Meaning that the period of settling down in Israel, this is called Israel, the corrected. Egypt is called the Land of Israel. When it's already corrected, or only when you begin to realize it? When you only begin to realize it, you have to realize it many times. It's like we didn't stay in Egypt for 400 years, so we'll have to go into a few more exiles. The Babylonian exile after the first temple, and afterwards other exiles until our times. It is all in order to acquire this entire big will to receive and to correct it to in order to bestow. Our time's almost up, so I'd like to ask a final question, and of course we'll keep scrutinizing this process on our future shows. On this show we talked about the development of Judaism, and we went over three periods: the period of Egypt, the 40 years in the desert, and entering the land of Israel. In the simplest way, can you please explain what is that inner thing that develops in Judaism? What gradually develops in Judaism is only the matter of the recognition of evil. That we are not in the right direction. It's interesting that the recognition of evil is what evolves. Why is that important? In order for us to change the direction of our development, from developing the ego in all realms, on all levels, in all directions, in all shapes and forms, to bestowal and connection. The main thing is the connection. And in the meantime, we're in ever-growing separation. Dr. Leitman, Thank you very, very much. This was extremely interesting. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.